Test.
Okay. Oh my God. I need more coffee.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, we are an acquired taste podcast. The podcast for people who grab life by the cojones.
Or the scruff. I used scruff this morning and it made me happy.
Or the midi skirt, a very classy midi skirt.
Yes. Is the midi skirt back?
Or the opaque tight. Yes, The podcast for people who grab life by the opaque tight.
I'm Bethany.
I'm Kathleen.
And happy new year. We're not pre-taping this. It is currently the new year.
Wait, did you just say you grab life by the scruff?
By the scruff.
Wow, that's kind of kinky.
Like, you know, how you grab a dog or a cat by the scruff? You know, like when they're...
No, I was thinking of you like grabbing a man by the scruff you're riding him.
Oh, no. I stopped doing that years ago. Sex is dirty and shameful.
Happy 2019, taste buds. Mm-hmm. We are so excited to be back.
Yes.
For an acquired taste. Should we say it on 1, 2, 3?
One, two, three.
Season 2!
It only took us roughly 150 episodes. Yes. What number is this?
This is actually 150.
This is 150?
Uh-huh.
So now we know each season will be 150 episodes long.
It's like Friends having season 1 all the way up until when Ross gets Rachel pregnant. And then it's season 2.
So we're doing season 2 sort of as a split. So it's a clean split. If this is your first time listening, we used to be 3 of us and now we are 2 of us. And so we just want it to kind of be a symbolic, like, fresh start for the podcast.
Yep.
And we do have an update from Sam. We're going to play that for you in a little bit. But yay, season 2.
I'm pumped.
I am too.
It's like last night at midnight. Mm-hmm. So today's Jan 1. We're actually recording this on the first day of the year, 2019. Yep. Last night at midnight, Stranger Things announced, like, right at the stroke of midnight. Like, I want to know who that social media person is, because they didn't have any fun last night.
They did not party.
They were ready to make that post where the next season's going to come out. They announced it at midnight.
Yay.
I love midnight announcements.
I was not awake for a midnight announcement.
Wait, so you? I don't know what you did last night for New Year's Eve, Bethany.
So I had 3 different fêtes that I was invited to, and I went to none of them because I just, well, first of all, like, 2 of them we're in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And no, thank you.
No. So far.
I live so far away from Brooklyn that it's like, it takes probably an hour to get to Brooklyn. And I just really wanted to be inside and not have any outside forces change my equilibrium.
Yes.
I wanted to sort of feel where I was. I wanted it to be about me and about my sort of transition into the new year. And so I stayed in. I was alone. It was wonderful.
I saw you were doing like a little bit of arts and crafts.
A little bit of embroidery. Yes. And then I was in bed by like 10.
That sounds amazing.
It was like the most old woman thing, but it felt so good because I woke up this morning at 8 o'clock. I went to the gym. I felt great. And I'm are people stumbling around Jan 1 because they're hungover.
Was the gym busy this morning?
No, it was dead.
Yeah,
it was
empty. Everybody starts to like probably January 7th.
Yeah, or they're starting today, but they're starting later when they sober up.
Yes.
What did you do, Kathleen? You're sick.
So, yeah, Bethany and I have both been sick in this past week. That's just what happens when you make out with your co-host.
Constantly.
And when you pee with the door open.
Yeah, constantly.
That's the theme of season 2. We're just in a relationship now.
You and I.
We don't close the door anymore when we use the bathroom.
No, we don't. And I don't do this with, I've never done this with a boyfriend or family, but I do it with you. Mostly because the door doesn't really close anyway, but like, I've stopped caring.
So I was supposed to have a party with friends that live in my neighborhood. We were all just sort of had no plans, and I was like, okay, I'll volunteer my house.
Yeah.
And then I had a mental breakdown because I was sick, and then you have to do all this cleaning.
Yeah.
And you have to put stuff away that you don't want people to see. And my very lovely friend Pam stepped up and she said, listen, we're going to change the party location to my house.
Which is like 2 doors away.
Yeah. And you can focus on getting better. So I did go to a party, but it was very low key. Like, we're all like in sweatpants, basically. And we ordered pizza and
it's the best.
We watched that movie. It was playing on E! Over and over again. New Year's Eve.
Wait, which one? Wait, who's in that?
It's got like Bon Jovi, Katherine Heigl, Jessica Biel, Abigail Breslin. There's like 1,000 famous people in that movie.
Is this where they were trying to like, they did Valentine's Day and which was a huge cast and then they did New Year's Eve Gotcha.
And it's just literally the worst collection of little different stories and it makes you feel better about your own life.
Yeah, I think that I, you know, I had some friends who were going out to the club and it just doesn't, I've never been a club person. And so I'm not a club person.
Yeah.
And I think that it's nice to sort of hit a point where you don't want to and you don't feel like you have to.
Listen, if you went to the club, we are not holding anything against you. Sometimes mama's got a rage, papa's got a rage. You do what you got to do.
Yeah. And I wish I was a club person because, you know, I love a makeout. And the easiest place to get a random dance floor makeout is at a club. But, you know, I don't love them.
Can we go to one club this year? You and me.
Yes.
And then like maybe our like one closest friend, because that's all we have. I want to go to Alan Cumming's club in New York City.
Yes, it's can do that.
It's called Cumming's.
Yes, yes. Okay. Alan Cumming is like liquid libido.
You know, if you really want to be in a Wikipedia tornado, like deep in a tornado, he's had a crazy life.
Yeah.
He was like engaged to a woman and now he's married to a man and his life is really crazy. You should look him up online, do a little bit of reading.
I think he came out with a book a couple years ago too about his dad.
Yes. His dad was like a sort of like a not so nice guy.
Yeah, not great.
He's got really, go read his biography or his book or whatever is that, and the memoirs. You will be in a literary soap opera of sorts.
Ooh, I love. So today we're going to talk about a little bit about New Year's resolutions, why they don't work and how to make them work, which sounds really boring, but I have this thing in front of me and I'm going to teach you, Kathleen, and the world.
Okay, thank you.
We also have a surprise message and I'm excited about this. I don't know about you, Kathleen, but I'm always curious about the human side of therapists. Like, do they get bored?
Yeah.
Do they tune out? Do they judge us? So we have a taste bud who's a real life therapist.
Yes, we do. And she called in a few days ago. We pre-recorded the interview with her.
Yes. And so we're going to talk to her about the human side of like being a therapist. And it's not like a lecture on therapy. It's like, what's it like being a therapist?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I have always wanted to know, like, does my therapist judge my problems based on how well I'm dressed?
Right. Same. Yeah, I do. When I go to the therapist, you would think I'm going for a date because I want her to think the best of me.
Yeah. But before we go any further, should we play this really beautiful message that we got from our sister, Sam?
Yes.
Hi, taste buds. First off, if it sounds like I'm reading this word for word, it's because I totally am. It's the only way I can get through it and not tangent or lose my important thoughts. So I intended to keep this brief, but you know me, so it's probably going to take about 47 minutes. First and foremost, it's important that each and every one of you know how much I love you and what a hugely valuable part of my life you've all become. From each and every taste bud, including the ones who have never reached out on social or email just from listening, to Bethany and Kathleen, two permanent husks of my heart. I love you, and I'm so sorry for how frustrating, interruptive, and confusing this whole thing has been. Really, this has been my entire life's least favorite and most painful experience of happens. And what happens in my life on a very personal level caused a storm of triggers, which started years ago. And all that reopening and being added to took everything from my emotions. As Kathleen and Bethany, you guys can attest to, I unraveled. And I'm still very actively working on fixing all that within myself. I found an incredible therapist. She's wonderful. I've been reading. I am literally here in Miami with my mother looking at a book titled Happiness. But all of this took a very real piece of me. My life, in regards to several things, including this podcast, turned into that scene from The Breakup where Jennifer Aniston is staring at this man she loves who is offering everything she's ever wanted. But the problem is now within her, and she responds with, "I have nothing left to give." That's kind of how I feel. Kathleen and Bethany have been patient and gracious, and for a while I was trying to figure it all out alongside them, but that wasn't working. I was a runner totally lost, looking for the way to run, looking for my trail, my direction. And they were two tin cans tied to my ankle behind me. That was unfair for them. It was torturous. And it was for you listeners as well. So with nothing but complete love for one another and for this podcast, we've all been cut loose. Really, I need to continue to figure all this out within myself without you waiting for me. I have never worked harder to create something or been more proud of a project than I have been with an acquired taste. This has been the worst time and decision of my life, but it's proven necessary. I love you, I love this, and I will continue to be the biggest fan of an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm sorry, Seamus, but I'm the president of the fan club. Actually, you might have beat me like months ago. This has nothing to do with it, so who knows? This project will continue to kick ass without me while I still try and figure out what the hell I'm doing. I'm here if you need to talk. You know where to find me. And that is what I've learned this week.
We love you, Sam.
We love you, Sam. So that's there's been stuff going on behind the scenes. That's pretty much what we can say, just because out of respect, but everything is good. We all are still friends.
Yes.
Sam's just on now sort of a hero's journey.
Yeah. We didn't want to leave anybody in the dark. Nothing but love.
Yes. Kathleen, over Christmas break, I texted you one of my old school pictures.
It was precious.
I found it because I was digging through all of these old memories in my mom's basement.
Yeah.
I found all of these video cassettes, a bunch of photos, and it made me realize I have so much more stuff to send to Legacy Box.
Yeah.
I already sent in a bunch of VHS tapes, and like those mini tapes, and they digitized it all and sent it back, and now I can email it to my family, but there's so much more to do.
You know, a few years ago, my parents had a really big flood in their house, and so much stuff was destroyed, and I wish I had just known about Legacy Box before that flood, because then these memories that now I can't access anymore, they would have been saved.
Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They have over a decade of experience, and all of the work is done by hand right here in the USA.
And don't wait on this, because mm-mm. film and photos, they only degrade with age.
Yeah.
This is of the utmost importance, and if you're thinking about spring cleaning of sorts for the new year,
yes,
this gets boxes and boxes of VHS tapes out of your house,
yeah,
not collecting dust anymore, and you have it all in one spot, totally digitized.
Yeah, they do videotapes, they do reel-to-reels, photos. I often wonder like what the weirdest thing is that they had digitized.
I really hope that some people want their naughty tapes digitized.
Or like they think they're having their kids like recital, but they accidentally taped over it. But you know what? Don't even worry about it. You know, no judgment. So what you do is they send you your Legacy Box, you fill it with your old home movies and pictures, and then they do the rest, professionally digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, digital download, or a DVD, or you can get all of them. They have easy to follow instructions, safety barcodes included for every item, and you receive all of your original recorded memories back along with perfectly preserved digital copies.
And all the work is done right here in the United States.
And you receive up to 12 personalized email updates as it's all going on. So you know what's happening. You feel good. You feel confident.
There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit legacybox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they are offering our Acquired Taste listeners an exclusive discount.
Yay! Exclusive Hello. Discount.
Go to legacybox.com/taste to get 40% off of your first order.
That's 40%.
Legacybox.com/taste. That's T-A-S-T-E to save 40% today.
40%.
Get started preserving your past.
40%. Kathleen, did you make any New Year's resolutions?
I didn't. But I'll tell you why.
Yeah, why?
Because I can never keep them.
Yes.
I like go for a week trying to live by these strict diet rules I give myself. Yep. Like I'm like, you cannot eat cheese. You cannot eat this. You cannot eat that. No sugar. It's bad for you. It'll kill you. And then like on January 10, I find myself in a pool of ice cream and sprinkles on the floor.
I stopped doing them a long time ago too. I'm with you because they always felt so huge and unrealistic. And then they just made the new year feel like overwhelming and dumb.
Yeah.
So I made a bunch this year, but they're really small. Like last year, my New Year's resolution was to use the word fete instead of party almost exclusively.
Yeah. And today you did that
thank
beautifully.
Thank you.
You worked it in.
And so now my New Year's resolutions are like to be quiet more often.
Yeah.
Like to not constantly have something playing in the background when I'm at home.
I actually do have one, but I'm not really bookmarking it as a resolution.
Yeah.
It's just something that I need to do to improve the quality of my life.
Okay.
I have it here today on this table, and I bought a notebook.
Ooh, a composition book.
Just a marble black and white composition notebook, and I'm going to journal every day.
That's good.
And I don't even like the word journal because journaling feels very serious to me. Like you have to be dedicated.
Yeah.
I didn't buy like a moleskin leather notebook. I didn't want anything that was like very serious. I just wanted something to jot my thoughts down in.
It's just like a pre-autobiography.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
You know, after reading Michelle Obama's.
Yeah. It's time to get those
memoirs
down.
Over break. Yeah.
It's not as serious as a journal. It's more of a memoir.
Yeah. So I'm just writing down my thoughts.
Awesome.
To help just clarify some things in my head.
Yeah. That's great. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that. So I was doing a little bit of research yesterday and I Googled why don't New Year's resolutions work? And I found this really interesting article from a couple years ago in Psychology Today, written by Dr. Susan Weinschenk, which I think is the most fun name to say.
Weinschenk.
Weinschenk.
Sounds like a delicious dinner party menu.
I would like the Weinschenk portion of the cow, please.
Do they have the tofu shank for you?
Mm-hmm. 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 So she talks about why New Year's resolutions don't work and how you can make them work. Would you like to hear this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because if it can help me, very lightly journal every day.
Memoir.
I'm on board.
Okay. So she said that the majority of New Year's resolutions center around habits and changing your existing habits, right? Like quitting smoking or exercising more or eating differently.
Yeah.
And the good news is that habits are automatic behaviors, right? And they're really easy to make.
Yeah.
Because we have literally hundreds of habits of things we do every single day.
Like when you're driving to the supermarket, but by accident you drive to your mom's house or
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And like, you don't know how you started that habit. You just know you do it now.
Yeah.
So it's easy to start a habit. If it's easy to start one, it's easy to change one.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it based on science of how you already behaved. So she says that there are three steps. The first thing you have to do is you have to pick a small action. So Kathleen, like you were saying, I want to change how I eat.
Yeah.
That's way too big.
No. Yes. Too big.
Too big. Quit smoking. Too big. But if it's something more like walk 500 more steps each day
mm-hmm.
or smoke one less cigarette per day,
mm-hmm.
that's much smaller and you can do that easier.
Yeah. Small goals,
yeah.
when you set them, are so much more attainable than large goals.
Yes.
And then if you just set small goal after small goal after small goal, you've actually attained so much more than that larger goal ever intended you to attain.
Exactly. You can't leap to the top of Mount Everest, but you can climb there.
Yeah.
Right? So the next step is you have to attach your new habit, the habit you want, to an existing one you do a lot. So like if you want to work out more, you know, every time you work out,
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, I already walk 3 times a week. So I'm going to walk for 500 more steps while I'm already walking.
Yeah.
And that existing habit then cues for you the new habit. So you don't have to push a rock up a hill. You're already doing this one habit. You just attach the new habit to it.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is you have to make it really easy for yourself to do for at least a week. So for working out, you literally put a sticky note on your sneakers that says walk 500 more steps today. And then it's right in front of you. You have to do it. Or if you're trying to eat healthier, you literally put all of the smoothie ingredients together in the fridge. You put your blender outside.
Yep.
You have it ready to go. It's clean. And then boom, easy to do.
You know, since we record this podcast in your house, I often will see things that you've written to yourself on your mirror.
Yes.
Like, you know, happy mantras or just like things to do or sometimes. Sometimes you'll write in lipstick your checklist on your mirror, which I think is a brilliant idea.
Because then you look at it all the time.
Yes, exactly.
It's really helpful. And then she said, if you do this 3 to 7 days in a row, you're all set. You have a new habit. Like it's not that daunting.
Interesting.
But this is the interesting part you have to do. She said the biggest part of it is your self story. She said, everyone has stories about themselves that drive their behavior. You have an idea of who you are and what's important to you. Essentially, you have a story operating about yourself at all times. These self stories have a powerful influence on decisions and actions. Whether you realize it or not, you make decisions based on staying true to your self stories. Most of this decision making based on self stories happens unconsciously because we strive to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And so when you make a decision or you act in a way that doesn't fit your self story, you feel uncomfortable. So I have a friend who hates working out. Mm-hmm. His story about himself is that he's a guy who doesn't work out. So every time he works out, he feels uncomfortable. It doesn't feel right. My coffee maker's turning off. And so if your goal is like to start singing in public, but your self story is that you're a shy introvert, yeah, you're never going to sing in public.
Interesting.
This dude named Timothy Wilson, he wrote a book called Redirect. He said you have to write out your existing story as it is right now and keep an eye to what your new goal is while you're writing it, and then rewrite the story from the perspective of somebody who is doing this new thing, right? So like if your goal is to de-stress and get off your phone, write your story, making it about someone who is stressed out on their phone all the time, and then rewrite it about someone who knows the value of taking time for themselves, knows the value of putting their phone away. It sounds so dumb, but they've done research on it and they found that it works really, really, really well.
We should write our stories right now.
Let's rewrite.
And then rewrite them.
Because if you, like, one of my goals, like I said, is to be quiet more and have more like calm, unplugged time.
Yeah.
And so I've said in the past, I'm someone who has a lot of anxiety and I need to have things in the background all the time to sort of fill my brain up. Mm-hmm. And that's my self story. And I need to rewrite it saying I'm somebody who really values calmness, who thrives on a peaceful environment, who enjoys just hearing the sound of my neighborhood and doesn't always need to have something in the background. And that has just changed my brain.
So
Kathleen, what is your self-story like pertaining to a goal?
My story right now, without my goal written into it, I think is somebody who gets a lot of stuff done.
Yeah.
But that actually backfires for me because I'm always like, gotta get this done, gotta get this done, gotta get this done. Open my computer, working, working, working. And because I don't ever take time to rest or I take time for myself, I end up getting less done because I get stressed out, I get overwhelmed, and then my brain starts firing on too many ends.
Yeah.
And I get confused.
There was one time that you were like, I think we were editing the podcast and you said, I will have this done by 8 p.m. And I woke up the next morning to a text from you at 1:50 a.m. saying I'm almost done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way that's, you can't do that. Yes. That's not healthy.
And it's a huge stress point in my marriage because it's not fair the way that I behave to my husband. I'm like always buried in my computer, getting stuff done, getting stuff done, getting stuff done. And the one person who I'm not getting stuff done for is him.
Yeah.
Not that I have to get him do anything.
No, but like to be around him, like with a clear head.
So I think for 2019, I'm going to rewrite my story as somebody who prioritizes and then takes time for herself.
That's good. That's very good.
So kudos to you. If you're on the bottom of my priority list,
you'll never see Kathleen again.
Really sorry. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, so I found it really interesting. So again, it's an article from Psychology Today. The article is by Dr. Susan Weinschenk. And the self-story thing is by a guy named Timothy Wilson, a book called Redirect. And then I have to share this really quickly. I also found this article from lifehack.org.
My favorite website.
So good. Written by a guy named Steve Airy.
.org?
Yeah, like, .org.
This is an organization, not a .com.
.gov. And this dude who wrote this apparently hates New Year's Eve resolutions and he just grumbles. And he said that the problem is that as soon as you set a goal, you feel less than because there's something you don't have now that you aspire to have in the future. Goals introduce a gap between where you are and where you'd like to be, which instantly makes part of where you are right now a place you don't want to be.
Exactly.
Which sort of makes sense, but his the end of the article, he was like, so just don't make them. He was just like a grump about it.
I love this idea of rewriting your story. Like, I'm kind of doing a rewind to what you just talked about. But man, that is a beautiful idea of how to a way to live your life.
Yeah. It's so interesting. It kind of rocked my world because I used to be somebody who wasn't athletic.
Yeah.
And then I started doing things that were a little bit athletic. And now I consider myself fairly athletic. It's not something that I ever thought would be the thing.
I wonder if I can go back and rewrite my story with my freshman year boyfriend, Brian.
Wait, what would the story be? What was the story?
I just treated him kind of horribly. And he was just like a puppy doll, like willing to do anything for me. And I would like to go back and be a nicer human being.
Do you know why that was? Because you were young and you didn't realize how few of those people there were.
Yeah.
You thought every dude was like that.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't treat him very nicely.
Yeah.
I would also like to go back and rewind my decision to rewrite my decision, rather, to dye my hair black in high school. That was... not good.
I didn't know you did that.
Listen, if you're holding a box of black dye right now, put it down.
You do not have the complexion for it.
I dyed my hair black because I had a boyfriend in high school who cheated on me with a girl who had black hair.
Ooh, that was obvious.
And I was just like, I'm going to dye my hair black because I'm going to make him love me again. Ooh. No, it just made me look pale and washed out in all of my yearbook photos.
Yeah, it's a rough look.
It's not good. I didn't even tell my mom I was doing it. She was horrified.
When I first met you, your mom wouldn't let you give yourself highlights. Is that why?
Yes, because I really put her through the ringer with different colors of hair that I've had.
I thought she was just like very controlling.
No.
You'd hurt her before.
But you know how moms have that special way? Like now sometimes when my highlights grow out, my hair looks a little darker. She goes, oh, well, you look so pretty when your highlights aren't fresh.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it.
I once went back to my natural hair color, which is, we have the same natural hair color. It's like a dirty blonde.
Yeah.
And I sent a picture and my sister texted back, there's the Bethany I know.
Oh, and I was like,
oh, but I don't like this color. And I went back the next day and we lightened it again because I just didn't recognize myself. Yeah. But I was like, I'm sorry, Nicole, you're going to lose the sister you know.
When I was in
here's the sister you wish was Kathleen.
When I was in eighth grade, do you remember the old way to do highlights when they put like this shower cap on your head
with holes in it and a crochet needle and you would pull the hair out through the holes?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So I came out of the salon 1 year literally looking like a skunk, and I had big thick fat bangs in front of my face with just random stripes through them.
Oh, that and the Kelly Clarkson chunky highlight from like when she was on American Idol.
What was that movie she did with that guy Justin,
from Justin to Kelly?
Yes. Oh, her hair in that is classic.
Like if your highlight was not a good inch wide, you were doing it wrong. Like it was just such a chunky highlight, and it had better be a maroon with a platinum.
Yes, it was maroon with platinum.
Maroon with platinum, because that is the most natural look for everyone. So in the vein of changing habits and, you know, making small attainable changes in your life, we have partnered with Noom. It's about sticking to goals with this app.
So Noom is all about getting healthy, losing a little bit of weight, tracking what you eat. So you're eating foods that give you fuel instead of eating foods that don't fuel your body as well as other foods. And the part that I really love about the Noom app is that you log your meals and that kind of stuff, and it also can keep track of your steps. It pairs up with your smart watches. They have coaches too.
Ooh.
And my coach's name is Ryan.
That's a hot guy name.
Wait, it is. He is hot. Can I show you his photo? So he sends me messages like when he sees that maybe I haven't logged in as much as I should, and he checks on me. Look at his picture.
Oh, hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Ryan, he looks so nice.
So
Ryan cares about you, Kathleen.
Look at all these messages he sent me.
Ryan is invested in your health journey.
He goes, Kathleen, I've noticed you've logged a few meals. great job getting into your action plan.
You know that on this show, we don't want you to worry about being a specific body size or body shape. We want you to be healthy. And if part of your health journey is to lose some weight, then Noom can help you.
Yes.
It's not a lose weight fast plan. It's a lose weight for good plan.
And what I like about Noom is that they teach me what foods are good for me and what foods are less good for me.
Yeah, but they don't say anything's bad.
And I don't want to say the word bad. It's a learning process with Noom, and they also send me quizzes about how to de-stress, how to control emotional eating, and how to identify when you're emotional eating.
One of the things too is when you see like celebrities, Cardi B just did this. She had a baby and was immediately back into bikini shape.
Yes.
That's because people have a team behind them, and you don't have to be a celebrity to have your own support team or your own glam squad.
Yeah, Noom is my team.
Yes. You have a live goal specialist. You have access to a group of fellow Noom members. Your goal specialist is a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, fitness trainer, all in one. And it's all for less than the price of a single appointment with a nutritionist or a personal trainer.
And how much time do we spend scrolling through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter on our phones every day?
Yes.
To really succeed with Noom, all you have to do is spend 10 minutes a day, and you learn so much from the materials that they give you.
And you also said that there's no shame. Like, they don't yell at you. If you eat a sheet cake, they're not going to yell at you for eating a sheet cake. They'll probably be like, here are some tips on getting back on track.
It's kind of like a tuning every day of my relationship with food.
You know how sometimes you just want someone to rub your back and tell you it's going to be okay?
Yeah, that's what Noom does.
Yeah, they're just like, we're here with you on your journey. You're going to be okay.
And
we got you.
Lucky enough, you'll end up with a hot coach like Ryan.
Ryan. Mm. So what do you have to lose? Sign up today. Start your trial at noom.com/taste. And you're like, how do I spell that? N as in Nancy, O-O-M as in mother.com/taste. Again, that's noom.com/taste and start losing weight for good. Again, that's noom.com/taste to start your trial and start seeing life-changing results today.
One of my favorite things to do on my Finsta, my fake Insta.
Yeah, which is, you still won't give me
no,
the
No, I'm
the
sorry.
Handle.
I won't because I spy on you sometimes too. When I watch your story, when I don't want you to know that I've watched your story. Everybody should have one of these fake Instagram Finstas. I follow all of these 90s accounts. It's like life in the year 2000. And it's just pictures of Paris Hilton in tiny dresses and her dogs in matching tiny dresses.
Everything was so little.
It was.
We didn't know. The butterfly clips were tiny.
Oh, yeah.
The halter tops were tiny.
Everything was little except for highlights.
So, yes. The waist, the inseam of your jeans was tiny because it was a 1 inch. Your zipper was 1 inch long.
Yeah.
It was so low rise. It had better hit below your hips.
Yeah.
Like the thongs were tiny. The only thing that was big were your highlights and like the pimp hats that women wore.
Yes.
Like Christina Aguilera wore like a pimp hat.
I was looking through a bin of old clothes the other day and it was a sweatshirt. So you think a sweatshirt of like a large item, like cozy.
Yeah.
This was a sweatshirt for a baby. I'm telling you, my six-year-old niece might wear that sweatshirt now. And I wore that sweatshirt almost every day of high school.
The baby doll shirts. Were, if you went to Hot Topic, you could get a My Little Pony baby doll shirt, which I got and couldn't wear. I never had the body to wear a baby doll shirt, but I kept trying. And they were painful years. The pop music was stellar, but the outfits were horrible. And then like all of the dude pop stars dressed like they were Aspen skiers with like goggles and like ripstop nylon jackets and zippers everywhere.
Yes. And like parachute pants. Yeah. Like they could like at any time just make them into capri pants if they wanted.
Yes, exactly. Or at any time they could go down a hill on a snowboard. Mm-hmm. They just like Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC wore goggles for like the first half of that band's incarnation.
So you didn't see it last night because you were sleeping, but New Kids on the Block performed on the like Channel 4's Rockin' New Year's Eve, and they were all in silver, like futuristic silver. And Donnie Wahlberg, the one that's married to Jenny McCarthy, was wearing sunglasses. I'm like, dude, it's the middle of the night. Come on.
Did I ever tell you how I had the chance to make out with Jordan Knight, but I couldn't because I had the stomach flu?
Bethany. That's when you put the stomach flu aside and you say stomach flu.
No, I didn't have it. He had it. That's right. He had it.
Oh.
So he was, you know, I always had like a crush on him. when I was really little. I had my first crush when I was three. So I started young, but I had a crush on him. And so then when they came back to try and launch their redo, I had just started in radio. And so they came in, he came in to do an interview and they all knew I had a crush on him. I played it cool.
And you locked eyes.
And we locked eyes and we definitely flirted. And he made a joke about making out in a closet. And then afterward, like, we hugged for a really long time.
Like a lingering hug.
Like a lingering hug. Mm-hmm. And then we stayed and chatted with each other a little bit. And he kept his hands on my waist while we were chatting. And he was like, oh, if I didn't have this stomach flu. Like, he said, like, I was a baby Bethany still. So, like, I didn't know how to, like, demand what I had the right to, which was him following through on making out with me. He's a very handsome old man.
He had a really bad solo last night. Like, a really. It was, like, not good. It's not good. But he, like, really tried.
It's hard, man. That's a cursed stage. Mariah Carey had a tough time.
And it was pouring rain last night. Duh. I know.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of your resolutions for 2019 should be to make out with Jordan Knight again.
I think he's married. I think he's been married this whole time.
Oh, shoot.
It's sort of like when Rock of Love.
A TV show on VH1.
Yeah, with Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels.
Was it Rock? It was Rock of Love.
Yes.
Wasn't he married that whole time he was doing those shows?
I don't know. RIP VH1. There's nothing on that channel anymore.
Rock of Love was the trashiest, most wonderful show because they were all wearing Ed Hardy hats and outfits. One of the challenges was all of the women went to, like, this t-shirt designer and they were wearing super tight shirts, and then he would shred the shirt while they wore it. Like, he would take the tightest shirt you can wear, and then he would take his scissors and just, like, start cutting into it, and, like, their boobs would pop out and their abs would pop out, and, like, that was the challenge, was who had the sexiest ripped up shirt. It was just the grossest, trashiest show. Talking of, like, chunk highlights, they were
so
all over
attractive. If today was opposite day,
yeah, it was such a good show. I love that show. We thought Daisy was gonna win. Daisy didn't win. She got her own spinoff. It didn't do well.
I have never been into reality shows, except I just discovered this new one on Oprah's Own network.
Is it similar to Rock of Love?
Yes, very similar.
All of these meditation experts put on their caftans and then we shred them to see who has the sexiest meditation caftan.
So it's called the Golden Sisters. And here's the logo I'm showing Bethany right now. It's kind of like this Vegas style logo that's pink. It says Golden Sisters and all sparkles. So three sisters, they live in California. And
are they in their golden years?
They are.
They are.
They're in their golden years.
They're, like, in their 70s.
And they are hilarious. They just, you know, beat up on each other and make sex jokes. And one of them, her husband is dead and she had him cremated and she keeps him next to the bed at night. And some of the scenes, her scenes, are her lying in bed telling her husband how her day went.
Oh, that's
and
so
then
nice.
She says goodnight and shuts off the lights.
That's so nice.
Listen, if you are at home sick at all this winter, or over, you have a couple days vacation where you just want to binge something, on your Fire Stick, download the OWN app for Oprah's OWN network and just binge the Golden Sisters, because it is gold.
I love it. Okay, I didn't really even know they had original programming on OWN. Yeah. I just assumed it was Oprah on a stage, like, doing a talk show to herself
every day.
She misses it.
Yeah, you get a talk show. Yeah. You get a talk show.
I get a talk show. So when we were getting ready to record a commercial, I was just ranting about something and being just, like, so crabby. And then there was silence. And then Kathleen went, la la la.
Like our theme music.
And that's how I know I was being a brat.
Quick, Bethany, say something really snarky.
I don't even want to go to this thing with you. You're not even really my friend.
La la la. Okay, let me try it.
Okay.
The fact that nobody understands you doesn't make you an artist.
La la la.
So terrible.
All right, speaking of being snarky and saying whatever you want, that was a terrible segue. Let's talk to, we call her A.
A. She's top secret therapist here in New York City.
Yes.
We will not reveal her identity.
Correct, but we will talk to her about all of these things we've always wondered about therapists.
Bethany?
Yes.
In keeping with our theme of resilience and self-care in 2019. I thought it would be really interesting. And, you know, it would open the door for people who have always thought about going to therapy if we actually got to talk to a real life therapist.
Yes.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Oh, we're so excited to talk to you. I have so many questions. As somebody who's been to therapy in the past and then stopped and then started going again, and also from the perspective of people who want to go to therapy but are afraid to just take that step and ask for help, we have a lot of questions for you.
Yes.
Absolutely. Ask away. Whatever you guys want to know, I'm free to answer for you guys.
Well, so I was actually talking to a family member over the holidays, and they just said, I don't believe in therapy. And I said, why not? And they said, because all therapists do is listen to you talk basically into the void, and then they just say, and then you have to come up with your own answers, because all they say is, well, what do you think about that? And what do you say to those people? Because my therapist doesn't do that to me, but I know some do. What do you say to people who say they don't believe in therapy?
That's a loaded question. It is really hard to convince somebody who is in that state of mind, who's either A, never been to a therapist, or B, doesn't believe in therapy. But it's way more than just responding and having them answer their own questions. That's part of it. I mean, you might find therapists that will do that, but there's an array of different type of therapies. There's different types of treatment. There's different types of mental illness. And each therapist is really tailored differently towards why you're going into therapy.
So if I'm looking for a therapist and I don't want someone who's just going to look at me and say, well, why do you think you feel that way? Are there certain keywords or certain descriptions I can use to search to find a therapist who's going to be a little bit more helpful in like problem solving?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always word of mouth is a way that a lot of people do look for therapists. But really, I would say you have to find a therapist that is specializing in what you're looking to treat. If you're looking for anxiety, then you want to find a therapist that really specializes in anxiety. If you're looking for helping you with obsessive compulsive disorder, you really want a specialist to really focus in on that, because that's what the therapist is experienced in.
So would you sort of equate therapy to like dating?
Yes, absolutely. I encourage people to try different therapists if they're not happy. And you're going to know pretty fast. You kind of know in that initial engagement if you feel comfortable with the person. And as a therapist, we feel the same. We kind of are feeling out the patient too. We're kind of seeing how each other responds to each other's questions. It's a process for us just as much as it's a process for the patient.
Have you ever had a patient say, you know what, I'm not feeling this, after like 5 or 10 minutes and leave? Because I did that once to a therapist. Is that okay, or is that rude?
No, that's okay. And one thing as a therapist is we don't ever take it personally. It takes a lot for somebody to come into an office and try to open up about their lives that maybe they've never opened up to anybody before. That is a big, big responsibility as a therapist to try to do the best clinical work they can with the words that are given to them by the patient.
Do people need to look really stylish for their therapists? Like, do you judge a patient when they come in based on how they look? Like, oh, this person might have it together, or wow, this person's a hot mess express.
You'd be surprised, because sometimes it's quite the opposite. Somebody who's very, very put together can very much be a mess on the inside.
Okay.
That's the last thing on my list of checklists as a therapist.
Speaking of judgment, how often do you sit and just judge what the person is telling you? Like if they say something like, you know, I am sexually attracted to goats. I've never done anything. But like, does a part of you go, oh man, or are you pretty good at staying distant?
I'm very good at staying distant. Us therapists, we're humans too. We're just people, and we're always going to have feelings. But when it comes to mental health and mental illness, I always take it very seriously. If they're talking to me about a serious subject, I don't disrespect them. It's a skill. It's a skill to learn how to kind of understand what they're saying and if they're telling the truth or not, and how to challenge them.
And again, you know, we're talking a lot about mental health in terms of therapy, but there are people who go to therapy because they're just having a certain situation in life that they're struggling with. It doesn't necessarily have to be like an official diagnosis, right?
Yeah, it's really for anybody who's going through something that they really just need help figuring out. It comes in all different shapes and sizes.
So therapy for some people can just sort of be like a mental tune-up.
Correct.
Okay, therapist, I have a question.
Sure.
What do you do with someone in your life who's super passive aggressive and never says what they're actually thinking, but instead just makes little hurtful jabs?
Have you talked to them about this before?
No, because I do not like confrontation.
Passive aggressiveness happens for all different reasons. And a lot of times it's because the other person is unhappy with whatever situation is going on. Mm. The best thing that I would suggest is control is such a huge concept to try to understand what we cannot control in life and what we can control in life and what we should control in life and what we shouldn't control in life. And there's ways to, when people say things to you, there are skills that you can do to try to just take the information and move on without letting it affect you. It's that skill to try to understand that there are certain things in life that you cannot control, but you can control how you react to it.
That's very good.
That's really good advice.
You're a very good therapist.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh my God, is this a real therapy session right now? What advice would you give to somebody who was on the fence about going to therapy? Somebody that's like, I really want to do this, but I'm not sure what the first steps are.
First, and this is kind of logistical, insurance, that could be anxiety provoking in itself.
Yes.
Hello, yes.
The second step is really coming to terms that you need to speak with somebody further than your inner circle, further than they can understand and that they can help you. And I'm sure a lot of patients have just reached a breaking point where they're like, I can't hold this in anymore. I can't function anymore. I'm having anxiety every single day.
Should somebody, the first time they're seeing a therapist, come in with like a list of questions for that therapist or like topics that they want to hit during that session?
There's definitely type A and type B people. I've seen a person who wants to get it all out in the first session, and I have to try to remind them that this is a process. It's not healthy, nor is it really clinically appropriate to talk about everything in one session. It's really a process, but that first session of engagement is really important to really talk about that foundation of why they're there and maybe some of the things that they want to work on. And the biggest thing, what's worked for them in the past and what hasn't worked for them in the past is really important.
Do you ever tune out if someone's just going on and you tune out?
Oh, shoot.
Sometimes it depends. And honestly, it's not being bored. It's more of a sign that something I need to work on is perhaps that the patient has reached goals and maybe they need some more goals if they're saying the same things over and over again. And it's my job to kind of bring out another goal and another transition to a topic that they might need to work on.
So you're really not interested in the everyday nuances of somebody's life, like if they want to share with you what time they brush their teeth that morning.
It's good beginning conversation, but some people, that's all they come to therapy for. And it's really difficult because you really have to redirect them to the real, real root of what's going on.
One of my proudest moments, this happened a couple of weeks ago, is like my therapist is very good at maintaining a straight face and a neutral face when I'm ranting. Mm-hmm. But the other day I made her laugh, like she slipped and laughed at something I said. And I was like, ha ha.
I got you.
I made her laugh.
Has a patient ever revealed something to you and it just made you think, oh my goodness, this patient is more f***ed up than I even thought they were when I met them?
Yes, for sure.
Has a patient, well, okay, on the other end of the spectrum. Has a patient ever gone to you for therapy and you're like, oh my God, this person just wants attention and they actually don't need therapy?
Yes.
So then what do you do?
Well, at some point you have to try to end it. Typically there's a treatment plan and around every 3 months you go through the contract together, not really a contract. You go through the plan together and say, did we reach this goal? Are we doing okay? Is there anything else that we need to work on? So if I'm checking in with the person and they really have no goals and they're talking to me about nothing, I try to very much politely terminate them, graduate them, whatever you want to call it.
I wish that there was a way, this isn't really a question, but I wish that there was a way that if you knew someone who was going to therapy for the first time, you could go to their therapist and say, hey, here's what I think you all should work on. like if there was some sort of anonymous like Google document where I could be like, oh, this person definitely needs to work on like attention seeking. And also they lie a lot. Are you good at picking that up? Or do you also wish that we could contribute that information?
I sometimes have their history of what they've been through. So sometimes I do have that information, but sometimes you got to use your instinct. I mean, I'm sure you ladies have instincts too of when you're talking to somebody, you're like, yeah, that person is really not telling the truth, or yeah, they're just lying. They're blatantly lying. But as a therapist, you got to kind of observe and take time before you essentially call them out. And you can call them out. That's okay. You challenge them, you talk to them, you try to figure out where is this coming from, because it's definitely from a deeper place.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the Instagram trend of self-care and mental health, and how Instagram and online social media networks have championed people to seek the help that they need more so than we've ever seen in society before. And the social climate that we live in is very much focused on you doing you, you know, get the help that you need, take care of yourself, and then you can better take care of others in your life.
I think that even if you don't need therapy, you can try it out, because we're coming from a society, and it's so I'm around 30 years old. There are people like my parents' generation, I think, who are really traumatized, really, really traumatized, and went through life and they were just kind of told to go through it and not talk about it. And I think we're seeing it in their generations of kids being traumatized, and even in their generations of kids being traumatized. And I'm not talking about like, you don't need to see this crazy event to be traumatized. You can be going through your parents getting divorced. You could maybe have a sick sibling. You might have an aunt in your family who's suffering from mental illness, and it was affecting your family. Trauma is everywhere. And I really, truly believe that every person could benefit from therapy, even if it's just trying it out once. So I think the movement is wonderful. I've never seen so many people supporting mental illness. With that, though, I do see a lot of armchair psychiatrists, meaning people who think they know what they're talking about, but really don't know what they're talking about. And in a sense, that could be more harmful.
I am that person, by the way. One of the games that I like to play with my therapist is, let's diagnose people I know with mental illness and mostly personality disorders. And she's like, no, we can't do that because A, I don't know them, and B, you're not licensed to diagnose people with personality disorders. But it's really fun for me in the moment to be like, oh, you're this way because you're a sociopath.
Yeah.
And she's very good at saying that's not the case.
But your skill is also to not say that to that person. You say it in therapy.
And exactly.
You can say whatever the hell you want in therapy. You can, that's this your safe place, and your therapist is not going to go around telling people about your business.
Perfect.
Wait, so you really don't tell anybody, like not even your pets? Do you ever say it out loud to your pets? Do you have pets?
No, I don't have any pets. I should get pets because I need to tell somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep it. Sometimes I'll tell like a story, maybe like, oh, this happened at work. But it will be very generalized, kind of like how I'm talking to you guys about situations that are very generalized.
So before we go, what is one thing that somebody can do every day to help fine tune their mental well-being for themselves without going to therapy? Just something someone can wake up every morning and do so they put themselves in the right mindset for a really good day.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard this term thrown around a lot, mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Mindfulness is really important, and it's not what a person might think it might be, is like meditation. It is meditation in a way, but it's really just being in the moment, not thinking about the past, not thinking about the future, not thinking about the things you have to do during the day, focusing on the right now, your breaths. And I also like to say, trying to think of something you're grateful for every day.
Oh, that's really good.
I love that. You're amazing.
We are so grateful for you. Thank you so much for doing this for us. You're now officially the therapist of an Acquired Taste podcast. So when Kathleen and I have our first big blowout, can we come to you?
Absolutely. Yes. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you pro bono.
Pro bono.
Well, you may see us sooner than you think because I have plans to conjoin Bethany to my body permanently.
Thank you, A.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
So if you were around for our Christmas newsletter that went out at the stroke of midnight.
Bring! Ooh, just like Stranger Things. Were you awake at midnight hitting send?
Yes, I was. Damn. I actually was.
You have to sleep. Isn't there like a program?
It was okay. I was waiting for Santa anyway.
Okay.
At the end of the letter, we wrote, P.S. Who is Dan from Minnesota?
Because if you didn't hear those past episodes, Dan from Minnesota called in like 5 times to our What My Christmas Goals Are hotline.
Yeah.
And people love him.
He's kind of famous now.
Yeah. People love him on the Facebook page. People want to know who he is. Yep. People who live in Minnesota are like, let's find Dan.
So we were overjoyed this morning when we woke up to an email voice note from Dan. From a different email. He uses a different email every time.
I know. Okay, this is what Dan sent us.
Happy New Year, Taste Buds. This is Dan from Minnesota. I wasn't able to listen to the podcast for a couple weeks, so I really didn't have any idea any of this was going on, and I just got caught up this morning. And, I heard that you used all my holiday goal voicemails, just kind of one after the other, and I thought maybe you'd just use one of them, but I just kept having ideas, so I kept calling in. I guess I see that was wrong now, but anyway, I just thought I'd let you know I had a good Christmas and New Year, and I am okay. Everyone, thank you for wondering, and I don't know Chris from Minnesota. But he seems like a smart guy. I did bring top shelf booze to a few different events, and that was smart. Kind of went away for a couple days. The day I left those voicemails, I was kind of in a dark place, but just had a bad day. But everything is fine. Totally, seriously. So I look forward to a good 2019, and I am going to keep listening. Bye.
Dan. Dan sounds like Dan still needs a little bit of like maybe a hug.
Dan sounds a little sad to me.
I know. I like him a lot. He seems like a nice guy. Oh, Dan. So anyway, Dan's fine.
Dan's good.
Dan followed through on his Christmas resolutions.
Yeah, he had a good Christmas.
And for those who love him, he's still out there.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you have to go back and listen to episode 146 because that's the episode we played all the holiday voice notes from Dan.
Okay, Dan.
Do we talk about what we learned this week?
Yes, let me go get my thing.
Okay. Wait, you have a thing?
Yeah. What did you learn this week?
I'll get started while you're in the bathroom. So I'm an irresponsible human being. Like, that's not a shock to anybody who listens to this podcast. Like, I'm very open about never really having my ish together.
Correct. Yeah.
So
and that's why we love you.
There is this thing where I was fighting with my drugstore because I for sure thought that they hadn't given me my anxiety medication.
Okay. And they were keyed
like,
up.
No, we gave it to you. If you really want to fight with us on this, we're going to check the cameras. In which case I was like, okay, so I'm going to be really embarrassed when they see me on the cameras, like walking into the pharmacy on the day they said I picked it up.
By the way, never fight with a woman who doesn't have her anxiety medication.
Yes, I know.
She's twitchy.
So I was having a bad morning, and this was the third day without my medication because I was calling them every day and yelling at them that I didn't get it from you. I found it in the place where I looked 100 times and didn't see it. But I had a mental breakdown.
Oh, honey.
I wasn't sleeping because I didn't have my medication. And I was supposed to have this party at my house for New Year's Eve. And my friend Pam texts me and she's like, hey, you're still on for tomorrow night, right? And I sent her back the nastiest slew of text messages like, no, I'm sick. Da, 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 da. And it was basically because I didn't have my medication.
Oh, honey.
So what I learned this week is if you're mean to somebody, if that person loves you, just call them up and call yourself out for being mean to them and they will forgive you.
Yeah.
If they're a true friend. I called her up immediately. I just started crying into the phone. Like, I don't have my medication. I can't find it. And she was really gracious about it. And I know us millennials, we don't like to call anybody ever.
No.
Because talking to people.
No, thank you.
It really makes a difference to just pick up that phone and call somebody sometimes because it clears things up.
I'm really glad that you got your medication too. Anybody who thinks that they're fine without their anxiety medication, if you've been on it for a while, you're not.
Yes. And
it's, you're not.
This is a lesson to myself and to all. Don't decide just to go off of it without your doctor's approval because you will end up a heaping crying snotty mess.
Yeah. There's a step and down process. Yeah.
What did you learn this week?
This week I learned I have a new foundation that I love. If you're a makeup wearer, it's from ELF, Eyes, Lips, Face. They don't test on animals. They're super inexpensive. And
Elf.
You can, Elf, yeah, you can get them at, I don't know, Target.
I've seen that brand at Target. I've seen it at CVS, any drugstore.
Yeah.
Well, your skin is looking quite luminous today.
Thank you. It's because it's a foundation serum. It's called Elf Foundation Serum with Goji Berry. And so it's thin like a serum, which never works for me because I need pretty heavy coverage.
Yeah.
But it does a really good job of sort of giving you like a base of everything. And it also somehow keeps oil at bay.
I mean, your skin looks incredibly smooth right now.
Thank you. And not oily. That's what blew my mind is like I wore it all over Christmas. I just blew it up all over Christmas.
You know what?
I didn't get oily.
I bet that's affordable.
It's really, I think it's like I think it was under $10.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it works really well. And then I just put concealer over it, like on the, you know, on Emily, this is it. And she has a cousin now over here. But it's like a good base layer. So yeah, so it's Elf Foundation Serum, has SPF 25. They're not a sponsor. I just think they're great. My color is fair light because I am a pale.
Your color is the lightest that they have, probably.
My color is see-through. one more thing before we keep going. We have to give a shout out to all of our Facebook moderators.
Yes.
Those people are holding it down, doing the Lord's work, like taking such good care of our show and everyone who is on the Facebook page.
Yes, on the Facebook fan page, you can find us. If you just log into Facebook and type in an acquired taste, the fan page comes up right away. Mac, Michelle, and Seamus, you guys are our saviors.
Thank you so much. All of you are working so hard. My mom is on the Facebook page and she was mentioning how like there have been a couple times where people have gotten a little out of line. There's been some scuffles.
Yes.
And they've swooped in and just protected everybody. And I'm just really impressed. We're not paying them.
No.
We want to, but we don't have any of it. So
we're trying to pay them.
We want to pay them. We will pay them someday. But they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. And it's not, it's a full-time job that they're doing just out of volunteering. So thank you, you three.
Yes. And it's a family in there. So just go enjoy and see some of the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Someone posted that they were maybe dating a married man.
Whoa.
And everybody was like, girl, you deserve better. Peace out. And she's like, you know what, fam? You know what, acquired taste, fam? You're right.
You deserve better. You deserve to be someone's full-time girlfriend, not their secret girlfriend.
Exactly.
Or boyfriend. I don't know who was it that posted.
I love that.
Yeah.
Crazy group.
No more secrets. No you more get secrets. To be someone's real life person.
Yes, you do.
Bethany, anything else?
You're my real life person.
You're my real life person.
Happy 2009.
Yes.
Teen. 19.
Teen. 2000. Holy Hannah.
2009. Not. That's a long time ago.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me at WebGirlKathleen on everything except for Snapchat because that's a fool's
errand.
I'm
Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on everything else.
You can follow us on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Email us at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to send us some snail mail, if that is something that serves you, you can find us at An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can also give us a call because we have a phone number.
That is right.
Yes, that number is 917-994-0353.
So we said that we were going to give you guys a bonus before the beginning of 2019, but Bethany and I were both sick.
Yeah, very sick.
So So that bonus is coming, and we're going to incorporate some of the voicemails that we've gotten on that phone number. They're amazing.
It's gonna be so much fun. One more thing. Please, if you haven't done it already, please rate, review, and subscribe. That is so helpful for us, especially if you listen on iTunes, but really wherever you listen. That really, you've heard it on other podcasts too. It helps push us up in the ratings. It helps other people find us. It helps validate us, and it helps show to my grandmother that she doesn't need to be ashamed of me. Once again, she was relentless when I went home for Christmas. You do.
She wants to know where your boyfriend is.
You coming back home soon? No. Yeah, you have a you seeing anyone nice? Why'd you break up with?
No,
he was
grandma.
A real nice boy.
No, grandma. I live in New York City and I have butt sex.
You finished slutting it up in New York City? You gonna come home, or are you gonna be a slut?
Slut.
La la la.